We give God all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 5. The book of Mark, chapter 5. Amen. We're believing God for great things today. I'm so thankful for Sister Lane. God bless her. Put your hands together and just praise God for her. The anointing of God that has come to life. Before the service is over, I want to anoint the deacon and his wife, Sister Lane, with oil for the service, so I will anoint them at the service. But if we can please stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning, I won't be before you long. Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better. But rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." This is the reading of the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated in his presence. Praise the Lord. I'll be speaking to you today from the subject, The Resolution of Our Issues, Part 2. The Resolution of Our Issues, Part 2 from our series, Lose Some Weight. Lose Some Weight. You know, last week we touched on the fact that we all have some issues. We all have some problems in our lives that are perhaps or should be a subject of concern. It does not matter where we are from or what we may or may not have accomplished in life, in career, in academia. It does not matter. We all have some issues that are a subject of concern. And we all are people with issues, problems. Even as Christian people of God, we are surrounded by life's issues. And life circumstances and life problems, personal problems. The Bible calls them afflictions. But the Bible also promises that we will be delivered from them all. Not just one problem or two problems, but all of our problems will be delivered from our afflictions. Because the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers us out of them all. So since we agree that we all have issues, do we agree?
Oh, yeah.
Since we agree that we all have issues, which is defined as a subject of concern, I'm certain that we can agree that first, all of our issues vary, yet cause you and I to experience the same negative feelings. The same negative feelings of shame. The same negative feelings of guilt, the same negative feelings of contempt, the same negative feelings of discouragement. All of our issues, they vary, but they all cause us to feel shame, guilt, discouragement, and Lord have mercy, isolation. Our issues cause us to feel discouragement, contempt, guilt, shame, and isolation. We can agree on that. And secondly, our issues affect the very essence of our life. Essence is defined as the basic, real, and invariable nature of a thing. The basic, real, or invariable nature of a thing is significance. It's individual feature or features. That is the essence of something. Freedom is the very essence of democracy. That's the essence of a thing. So a feature, characteristic, or essence of the spiritual life, Hector, is transformation. The essence of our spiritual life, the essence of our spiritual being is transformation. It's not just coming to church and staying the same. It's transformation. It's not just hearing a word, but it's transforming. It's not just lifting our hands and glorifying God, but it's transforming. It's not just running around the church and screaming, but it's transforming. It's not just paying our tithes, but it's transforming. It's not just going higher in the goodness of God and knowing God, but it's transforming our lives. We cannot stay the same.
That's right.
Once we include and incorporate and enhance our spiritual life, we must transform. The transformation is the essence of our spiritual life. Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. Transformed. Think differently. Transformed. Do differently. Transformed. Act differently. Transformed. Do something that you've never done before. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if any man be in Christ, Lord have mercy, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, Lord have mercy, all things have become new. What you did last night has become new if you're in Christ. What you did the other day has become new if you're in Christ. What you did 3 years ago has become new if you are in Christ.
Thank you, Father.
That's your spiritual life.
Yes.
And you should be transformed in it.
Yep.
Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'll say it again. The transformation is the essence of your spiritual life. So if you're not changing by coming to church, if you're not changing by hearing this word, if you're not changing by reading the word, you have to look deeper within and see why you're not transforming. Because God is about forward progression.
Yes, sir.
It's not about looking back. Forward progression. He's about where you are now and moving forward. Our issues will often so affect the very essence of our lives, especially our spiritual life, prohibiting or worse causing us to abort the process of transformation. I need to say that again. When the Lord was giving me this, I was about to fall off my desk. It was coming so fast at me. Our issues will often so affect the very essence of our lives, especially our spiritual life. Our issues will often affect the very essence of our lives, especially our spiritual life, prohibiting or worse, causing us to abort the process of transformation. When you have an issue, you will abort the process of transformation in your life. When you have an issue, you won't go higher in God. When you have an issue, you'll abort, hinder, stop, regress. Move away from.
Go ahead.
Transformation occurring in your life. Your issues, your issues, my issues. In other words, our issues, if you allow them, will keep you from becoming all that God wants you to be. Your issues will keep you from going higher in service and higher in prayer and higher in giving and higher in doing the will of God for your life. Your issues will keep you from the life that God is calling you to live. Doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80, God is calling you to do more.
Yeah, that's right.
And to be more, and to live better, and to go further.
Yes, sir.
How do you know? How do you know, Pastor? How do you know? Because everything since I've been on the journey and path to serve God, Satan has thrown everything that he could at me to keep me from going forward. He's thrown every situation at me, financial problems and issues and shame and embarrassment and losing friends and solitude, all these different things just to hinder the process of transformation. Of a new life. Better than anything I could think of, or better than anything I could dream of, or better than anything that I could do on my own and in my own strength. A new life. Transformation. If you allow your issues to take over, will keep you from becoming all that God wants you to be. You know, I often meet people who have so much potential to be used mightily by God. That is one of the most frustrating things of being a pastor, when you see people with so much potential to be used by God. So much inside of them. God has put invested in before the foundations of the world were created. God created you for a purpose. For His purpose. And the process of transformation and service and love and joy and all those things that make up our spiritual life is aborted or hindered because of our issues, insecurity, low self-esteem and pain, addiction, all those different things that keep us from wanting to press on and go forward. Our past. Who cares about your past? You care about your past. God does not care about your past. He cares about what you're doing now. And I meet these people with so much potential. Praise the Lord. I meet these people with so much potential. Mightily to be used by God in the kingdom. But because they have a particular issue or problem, they will never fully invest themselves in the kingdom of God. They'll never fully invest themselves in the kingdom of God because of their issues. They might still be getting high, but God is saying, come on, come, I'm going to fix it. You know, I was talking to a woman when I was at the bus stop with my children, and you know, it's so funny, you know, I don't wear my collar everywhere, just me. So I'm just standing there and I'm talking to this woman, and every day we've been talking since the kids are going to school. And so I said, how long you and your husband been married? She said, we ain't married. I looked at the kid was 12. I looked at the other kid, it was 9. I said, no issue there. I don't have a problem with that. The problem I do have is that those issues like that and those things that people keep in their mind keeps them away from this place.
Yeah, that's right.
Keeps them away from seeking God.
That's right.
Keeps them away from searching for God, and keeps them away from coming to the house of God, and keeps them away from reading the Word. They turn up their nose at church people. They don't like pastors and preachers because they think everybody's judging them, but that is not the will of God. God says, come. When Jesus was talking to His disciples, He did not look at their resume and say, come. He said, follow me. He looked at their face and He said, come. He looked at them working and He said, come. He did not see if they had a degree, but He said, come. He did not ask them anything about their past, but He said, come. Follow me. Follow me. And their issues will keep them because they never fully invest themselves into the kingdom of God. Or you have an individual whom God is blessing. Lord have mercy, God is blessing. That's another frustrating thing in the church. Call people into the church and they come and they start getting blessed. And then they can't come to church anymore. Lord have mercy. So blessed they can't come to church. So blessed they can't serve God. So blessed they can't miss work. So blessed they can't come. I go to a particular place and work with seniors, and one of the aides there that worked with the seniors, she promised me about 6 months ago, she said, you know, Pastor, I'm going to come to your church. The Lord blesses me with a car. I'm going to come to your church when the Lord blesses me with a car. Lo and behold, she was blessed with a car. And so she came and she told me about the car. She said, oh, the prayers are working. I was blessed. Thank the Lord. and told me about the tires and the leather and the radio and the sunroof. And I said, you're forgetting something. She said, what is that, Pastor? I said, you said when the Lord bless you, you would come to church. And she said, oh yeah, I did say that. I'm coming. I'll be there next Sunday. And then I had to get all scary pastoral on her. I said, you do know that the Lord does not like it when you vow to him. And then you break a vow. She said, I'm coming. And she came to church, but I have not seen her since. But that is what happens when we get blessed. An individual is blessed, and because of their guilt and shame, or whatever issue they're having, they stop coming to church. Bless. Bless. Just bless. God is blessing you. And all of a sudden, you can't come to church anymore because of your issue. Because of your own guilt, your own shame, your own circumstances, your own problem, your own mess. And they begin to analyze the problem or the issue. I'm not smart enough. I'm not able to do it. I can't read the word like that. I can't pray it. They begin to analyze and talk themselves out of the blessings of God. And they abort the process of transformation. But I want you to know this. Do not draw back. Do not go back. Do not look back. Continue to look forward. Look ahead to God. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Continue to look on to Jesus, knowing that he can help you. Look to him. Look to God. Look forward. Look to God. Now don't look back. The woman with the issue of blood was so bothered by her issue that it affected the very essence of her life. The woman with the issue of blood was so bothered by her issue that it affected the very essence of her life. You know, blood is the essence of physical and spiritual life. You hear that? Blood is the essence of physical and spiritual life. So the woman with an issue of blood was affected immensely by her condition. You know, blood is the essence of life. We need blood to help us in our spiritual life. Blood is life.
Yes.
And our physical. And in the spiritual, blood is used to help us get new life through the atonement. So if you have an issue with your blood, as this woman did, you have an issue, you have a problem with the very essence of your life. Like many of us who may or may not have a blood issue, but whatever our issue is, that particular issue is affecting the very essence of your life.
Right.
And it cannot be that way. Our issues are causing us to feel shame. The very essence of your life, that issue of shame is affecting the very essence of your life. The very essence of who you God created you to be. That issue of guilt is affecting the very essence of your life because you're guilty about something you did or did not do. It is affecting the very essence of your life. Disappointment is affecting the very essence of your life. You know, once you've been disappointed in an area in your life, you no longer look for things to be opportune, or you look for things to work out in your favor because of disappointment, and that disappointment is affecting the very essence of your life. You've been hurt before. You've been disappointed. You've been disgraced. You've been hurt. And the very essence of your life is being affected. Despair and desperation is affecting the very essence of your life. You know, the woman with the issue of blood was discouraged because her issue persisted for so long. Disappointed because she suffered many things in the hands of physicians. And desperate because she had spent all that she had and had gotten no better. But I want you to know this. I want you to hear this. She was desperate because she spent all that she had and hadn't gotten better. But desperation is a good place to be. Desperation is a good place to be. Because when we are desperate, when we are broken, it's when we are receptive to receive the supernatural.
That's right, yes, sir.
When we are broken, we want God. When we are broken beyond our abilities and we can't go any higher or do any more in our own strength, is when we are open to the supernatural, when we're open to the power of God and the hand of God and the mercy of God. It is when we are desperate.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
yes, sir.
Desperate. That we're receptive to receive the supernatural. The Bible says that God is near to those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. God is near to you when you're desperate. God is near to you when you don't know where to turn. God is near to you when you don't have an answer. God is near to you when the physicians say no. God is near to you when the bank hasn't given you an answer. God is near to you when you don't know where your husband is. God is near to you when you don't know where your wife is. God is near to you when you don't know how you're going to make it. God is near. It's time to lift up your hands and give him a praise. God is about to move in your life in that moment when you're desperate. When that moment when you're desperate, God is about to move. Why is he about to move? Why is he about to move? Because when he moves, nobody else will get the credit. It won't be because of your mother. It won't be because of your father. It won't be because of your education. It won't be because of your connections. It won't be because of anything other than God.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when it's God, you have to lift your hands. And when it's God, you have to dance in your feet. And when it's God, you run around the church. And when it's God, you cry out to him in the midnight hour. And when it's God doing it, you give him all the glory and all the praise. Hell couldn't keep you from church. No demon can keep you from coming to Bible study. You want to serve and lay down your life because you know it was nobody but God. Nobody but God. Nobody but God who called me. Nobody but God who blessed me. Nobody but God who saved my home. Nobody but God who saved my marriage. Nobody but God who blessed my child. Nobody but God who broke that addiction. Nobody but God that saved our family. Nobody but God that lifted us up. Nobody but God. It was nobody. Nobody but God. Not my mother, not my father, not anybody else but God. It was only the Lord. It was not who I knew and who I kissed up to and who I was connected to, but it was only God. Only God. Only God. Only God. Only God. I give God all the praise and I give him all the glory and the honor. It was God. It was God. I can't say it was nothing else but God. How did you become a pastor? It was God. How did you get to church? It was God. How did you meet that woman? It was God. How did you have those children? It was God. How do you live in that house? It was God. How do you do those things you do? It was God. How did you get in that seminary? It was God. How did you do that? It was God. How did you get ordained? It was God. God, I give God all the glory and all the praise and all the honor to his name because it was nobody but God. 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 We give him praise. Desperation is a good place to be. Desperation is a good place to be. I'm desperate for God. I'm desperate for his mercy. I'm desperate for his hand. I'm desperate for his touch. I'm desperate for God. I need God. I need God. I need him in the morning. I need him in the afternoon. I need him in the evening. I need him late at night. I need him in New Jersey. I need him in North Carolina. I need God. I need God. I need God. And you need God too. So when you're desperate, when you're desperate, when you're desperate, when you're desperate, that's when your supernatural is about to occur. And the Bible says that when she heard Jesus, Lord have mercy. When she heard Jesus, when she heard of Jesus, when she heard about Jesus, verse 27, and when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and she touched his garment. When she heard about Jesus, when she heard about Jesus, you know, I can still remember the first time that I heard about Jesus before I was saved, delivered, and set free. I can still remember the first time that I heard about Jesus. I had heard about him from my grandmother. I had heard about him from my aunties. I had heard about him, but I remember the time that I've heard about Jesus. And many of you are here today, right now, in this moment, because you heard at one time or another about Jesus, that perhaps he could help you. Perhaps he could help you with your issue. Perhaps. I know you tried so many things, but just remember you heard about Jesus.
Yeah.
You heard about him for a reason.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, there are many who hear about Jesus, but there are not many who respond.
Amen.
There are many that hear about Jesus, but there are not many who respond. So if you're responding, has a resolution.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Lord,
for you.
Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right.
It has
yes.
a resolution for
thank
you.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
There's a resolution to your issue. Because you heard about Jesus.
Yes, sir.
You heard about Jesus. And his hearing is not a physical hearing, but it's a spiritual hearing. It occurs on the inside.
Yeah, tell him.
Yes.
Something compels you.
Yes,
draws you in. Something is calling you to do more and calling you to go higher and calling you to keep going. Something is calling you. You hear him. You hear him. You hear him on the inside.
Yes,
on the inside of you. You know, my wife said today, she said, you know why? You know, my husband, he has to do something. He has to keep moving. He has to keep doing. He has to keep going. Because something on the inside is calling
him. Yes,
yes.
Something on the inside. Something, thank you. Something on the inside is saying, keep going. Something on the inside is calling my name. Something on the inside is saying, I got a blessing for you. Something on the inside is helping me with my issue. Something on the inside says, keep going to church. Something on the inside says, keep going to Bible study. Something on the inside says, keep running those people around the track. Something on the inside says, move back. Something on the inside says, go higher. Something on the inside says, go back to school. Something on the inside says, stay faithful to your wife. Something on the inside. The inside. She heard Jesus. And when you hear about Jesus, you must seek. Search. You must seek. Listen to me. When you hear that calling, you must not let him keep you from going and her keep you from going. You must not let them keep you from going. You must do what you have to do when you hear that call. You must hear. You must hear. You must respond. And when you hear about Jesus, you must seek, search, and go towards Christ with everything you have. Everything you have. If you have to get on the bus, everything you have. If you have to get on the train, everything you have. Do you know that this is how I met this man and this woman? Because God called me from down here to Brooklyn. We passed by 55 churches. Maybe more. Brooklyn, 4 years ago. I would get my wife up and the kids were little. I'd say, come on, let's go. We gotta go to Brooklyn. And we would go.
Yes.
From here, every Sunday. Because God was calling. When God calls you, you must go.
Yes.
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 Let's go. You must go. You must come. You must wake up. You must do it. You must do it. You must do it. And when you hear about Jesus, you must seek, search, and go towards Christ with everything you have. This woman, she was desperate. She was desperate. And she came towards Jesus with all that she had. Here we go. We're almost done. Seeking and searching for God is a resolution to our issues. Seeking and searching for God is a resolution to your issues. Seeking and searching for God is a resolution to our issues. Seeking,
yes.
Lord have mercy.
Yes.
And searching for God is a resolution to your issue.
Yes.
Jeremiah 29 and 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. Your entire being, the totality of who you are. When you seek me and you search for me with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul, you will find me. You will find me. Seek him and he will be found. Seek God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And that is a resolution.
Yes.
A resolution.
Yes.
To your issue.
Yes. Amen.
You cannot just hear about the goodness of God, but you must search for his truth.
Yes.
with all your heart, your mind, and your soul.
Yes.
The woman with the issue of blood, she heard about Christ and sought him with everything that she had. I wish I had time to go into the story. I wish I had a moment to tell you how she crawled. I mean, you. One of the things that I'm so excited about, it is well, and we're starting our Sunday school, and we're going to learn about these stories, and not just learn about them, but the context of them. And if you really understood what women went through back then, she had to crawl on her belly to get to Jesus. I mean, multitudes were listening to him and following him. And it was, and most of that multitude were men. Because women could not even draw near. Women could not even go up front or get. Women had things to do. They had to serve their household. They were not able at that time to go after Christ like that. So this woman went after him. She did not care who stepped on her, who threw her back, who told her to stay behind. Don't come any closer. Don't come nearer. Don't go to church. Don't do that. Stop praying. Stop all. She kept crawling towards Jesus. She did not allow her issues.
Yes.
Issue of blood. Embarrassing issue. You know, there's a book called The Red Tent. And I had to read it. And it's a book that gives women a voice in the Bible.
Amen.
So it's fictional. But it's a book that gives women a voice, the character of the women in the Bible a voice. It tells the biblical story from their perspective. You hear them speak. It's very interesting. And do you know that when the women had an issue of blood, a flow of blood, they had to be isolated. They had to go in what's called the red tent. 7 days. But that's where they had community. That's where they got stronger. They told stories and they bonded together. And they lifted each other up. And even despite that issue, she said, I'm not going to be isolated anymore. I'm going to go forward. I have to resolve this issue. I have to reach my Savior.
Yes.
I heard about Jesus.
Yeah.
I heard that he could help me in this problem,
yeah,
with this issue. So she crawled on her belly towards him. And her efforts paid off because she received, Lord have mercy,
yes, sir,
a touch from God.
Yes.
You will only receive a touch from God,
yes,
when you seek him out with your entire heart. You will only receive a touch from God when you seek him with your entire... You will only receive a touch from God when you seek him with your entire heart. Psalm 34, I sought the Lord,
yes,
and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Delivered me from all of my fears. And after her touch, she began to build a relationship with God. Verse 33, let's look at that. We're moving on. She began to build a relationship with God after she touched him, after she received the touch. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. You know, when you decide to open up to someone and tell them the whole truth, I mean, not part truth, not the part you just want to tell them, not the part that just makes you look good, but the whole truth, that's the basis for relationship. It's the basis for relationship. One of the things that I encourage my wife, and she encourages me, is that we tell each other the whole truth.
Yes, sir.
That's relationship.
Yes, sir.
And she began to have a relationship with Christ. She began to go after him and build a relationship with him. You cannot just find God and receive a blessing and keep him at a distance. You cannot just find God and look at him on Christian television and look at him from the back row of the church. You cannot just find God and look at him from a distance, but you must draw near and go closer and seek out a personal relationship. A personal relationship. Nothing wrong with Christian television, but you will not have a personal relationship. You have a personal relationship with Benny Hinn.
Right.
Amen. But you will not have a personal relationship with Christ.
Amen.
You have a personal relationship with the Word Network.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But you will not have a personal, up close,
that's right,
intimate relationship with God through Christ. You must allow him in through a relationship. And she told him the whole truth. And after she told him the whole truth, Jesus says to her, go in peace. Your faith has made you whole. Come on, put your hand in. Please stand with me. Your faith has made you whole. Amen. Your faith has made you whole. Not your intellect. Not your philosophy. Not your analytical mind. Your faith has made you whole. Point two. Your faith is a resolution to your issue. Your faith is a resolution to your issue. 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God, you can play. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Who is it who overcomes the world? Him who believes in the Son Jesus Christ. Our faith is a resolution to our issue. Our faith in God. It is your faith that makes you well. He said, daughter, go in peace. Your faith has made you well. Your faith in God has made you well. I wish I had a moment to stay on faith. I do have a moment. Amen. Whatever you can do in your own strength, whatever you're able to make happen by your hands, is not faith. If God is calling you to serve and you can just easily get up and serve, that's not faith. There are many people who say they're not ready to serve in the kingdom. I have an issue with someone that says they are ready. I still struggle sometimes with the fact that God has called me to pastor. Because I need every ounce of faith to pastor. The moment I try to pastor in my own strength, I will get knocked down. The moment I stop praying, the weight of all of y'all issues and the church issues will crush me. I get calls from people who say, pastor, can you talk now? I have 9,854 things going on, but because by the grace of God, I can talk now.
Yes.
Faith. God does that. If you can serve without God, that's not faith. If you can start a church without God, that's not faith. If you can overcome your issues without faith, faith is a resolution to your issues. It is your faith that makes you well. And then the third point, receiving God's grace is a resolution to our issues. Lord have mercy. God's grace is a resolution to our issues. Turn with me to 2